For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Welcome to the madness in March, everybody. 4 weeks of college basketball fever. On the men's side, your favorites to win are Houston, defending champion UConn, Purdue, who's choked each of the last 3 years. So many options on the table. On the epic women's side of the bracket, Iowa's your betting favorite. South Carolina's the undefeated champion. The big three of Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, and Morrow at LSU. Juju Watkins and USC. Tara Vanderveer's Stanford team. So many teams on the table. And if you want to bet on any and all of them, BetOnline Sportsbook has you covered before the big dance. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the link in the description to this episode. Click on that link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. How is it out in North Carolina?
Very chilly day. I'll give you a forecast update about 39 with a little bit of wind, seasonably chilly for the 19th of March.
Okay, seasonably chilly. Good to note. First of all, NC State. Your boys.
Did that happen? I don't even know. I don't know what happened on over the weekend.
So I saw you posting video from an arena. Did you get to go to any of the games?
I did. I went to the semifinals. It's a long story, but I can make it short. If you want to put it on the pod, I'd be happy to share my UVA story.
Yeah, no, this is a good way to start it off because your alma mater obviously pulled off the story of the tournament, the champ week 10 seed, largest seed to ever win the ACC tournament. Yeah, let's hear the story about you and NC State.
Yeah, so, living in Chapel Hill, I have comprised a lot of neighbors and good friends that went are Carolina graduates. And when we beat Duke on Thursday evening, received a text message from a buddy that I knew was driving up for the semifinals and finals as a Tar Heel fan. And he said, "You're coming. I'm picking you up at 10 a.m. And I said, "Okay, well, let's just slow down here for a second. I do have obligations that I would have to modify on Friday here in the area for work. And I also have family obligations on Saturday." And he said, "Okay, well, do what you can, figure it out, and call me in an hour." So this is at, 9:30 Eastern at the time when the Wolfpack defeated Duke. And so I figured it out, but my only quandary was I really couldn't get back home on by Saturday around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock p.m. in that range, Kyle. So I made the journey by car with my buddy, And then I was able to capture a good flight out of Reagan National at 9 a.m. And I was in my house by 11 a.m. So it worked out really well. It was kind of disappointing that I didn't stay. You know, I probably could have maneuvered that Saturday overnight stay in D.C. But a part of me had very little faith in the Wolfpack. I think I would have taken a beating for missing my family obligations. And on the other side, I really did not want to see Carolina cut down the nets in D.C. in front of me. I've never seen that before. I've never been to an ACC championship game where the other team beat my Wolfpack. We've been in a couple of them, Kyle. We miraculously somehow got to the finals when we weren't even that great, as a 6 or 7 seed, and lost to Duke. And we had a cushy lead at the half too. And I watched that unfold in tears at home. So I said, I'm not going to let that happen in person. I'm just going to get home, fulfill my family obligations, but witness the probably the greatest 3-point shot in Wolfpack history outside of the shot that they made at the buzzer to beat Houston in 1983 in the national championship in Albuquerque. But what makes this story special, and I don't want to bore people here, but I had an opportunity to sit 3 rows behind the floor, thanks to my Carolina friend who at halftime met with his buddy who's in the media and said, listen, you know, there's nobody in these 2 rows of media, row 3 and 4 on the floor. You get kicked out, you get kicked out. Just act like you belong. Don't go crazy. You know, when NC State does something miraculous or somehow screws things up. I did my best to control emotions at times, but when he hit the 3-point shot, the emotions ran wild. And I honestly was probably about, 12 feet, 13 feet away from that shot, because I happened to be on the NC State goal in the second half. So probably the best sporting event I attended, based on the fact that this is my team, this is my university. And I had such a great time that afternoon and evening, Kyle, in D.C. And unfortunately wasn't there for the national championship, but enjoyed it from home when we won it. And here we are today with zero hope when I was on your podcast a week ago that NC State would be in the tournament.
It sounds like you got one of your lifelong sporting memories, specifically because it's your school and getting to be there for that specific game of the run. It felt like you got one of your lifelong best sporting memories.
Well, I like to say it's a grandkid story, right? It's a story to tell my grandkids, you know, that hopefully maybe one of my children will end up at NC State. So their kids will inherit it being Wolfpack fans. So it's a grandkid story regardless, right? Yes, it's the greatest story that I think I will have potentially in my life. And even if the Bills win a Super Bowl and I'm there, Kyle, I'm not going to be 3 rows from the field, right? I don't have, $300,000 spare for one of those crazy seats. But I do have $150 to spare to get a normal ticket and then happen to move up. Because, you know, at these conference championships, Kyle, and you know this probably, if you watch some of these events, it's 40 to 60% filled. And in some cases, it's less than that. So there is ways to get down to seats that normally would cost a fortune for a pro event. And luckily, with the Pittsburgh faithful just really not being there for the most part, you had a lot of empty seats in D.C.,
I am well aware of this fact from the March Madness aspect of it, because I've been to first and second round games in March Madness before. The second round games, depending on the team that's playing, you'll get a full arena sometimes. But for the first round games on the Thursday, Friday, it's such a made for TV event that you're going to get 30, 40% filled, especially for the day games on the West Coast, which start at like 10 a.m. on a Thursday or 10 a.m. on a Friday. Yeah, you're going to get like 30, 40% filled arenas. I got last year when it was in Sacramento, I got like $5, you know, top level bleacher seats, and then you can just move down to basically, you know, section 112 or whatever, because there's no one in the crowd. You're going to be able to find seats pretty much anywhere, except for like right behind the benches where all the fans who have traveled there are. But I understand what you mean, being able to navigate and move around some of these conference tournaments in college basketball, because they are such made for TV events that you're going to get a lot of, you're going to get a more intimate environment for a game that has so many stakes comparatively to other sports, just because of how conference tournament scheduling works and how the television aspect of college basketball, you're going to get a more intimate environment where you can make your way to three rows behind one of the biggest shots in NC State basketball history.
Yeah, Kyle, and I think you may be on the same page with me, but I would never go to the NCAA tournament again. Only to watch the Wolfpack. That's the only scenario, because I just feel like it is so made for TV, whether you're at home or a sports bar. The experience you have there versus, you know, going to an arena in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, and watching Arizona play, you know, whoever they're, you know, Grand Canyon, that's, you know, that's actually not a bad matchup. It's a poor example, but Arizona Princeton last year, you know, it's just like, if you're a neutral fan of Princeton and Arizona, sure, the excitement of a 15 beating a 2 is there. But I'm sometimes in that first half, I guarantee you, you could hear a pin drop in the Arizona-Princeton game. You know, it just really geographically, it's very difficult for these fan bases to navigate their way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for example. I mean, for the Wolfpack faithful, not as hard, but the flights are not that inexpensive. But listen, if you're a Texas Tech alumni or fan and you still happen to live in the Lone Star State, that is a massive undertaking to fly out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with that cost and a short notice of 3.5 days, because, you know, you basically have 3.5 days to figure out your plans to get from Texas to Pittsburgh. That is just not easy. And so it is a made for TV show. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be in Pittsburgh for the game, but I am super excited to watch them all at likely two different sports bars on Thursday and Friday.
You know, I will give the Princeton fans credit, because Princeton was able to navigate some people out there for that game last year. So the two I got to see when I went last year was on the Thursday of March Madness was, I think it was Missouri and Utah State, relatively uneventful game. And then I got to watch Arizona-Princeton. That was the game that we got in Sacramento last year, and I got to see Princeton win, and it was a whole cool thing. But the one thing that I thought was nice was that last year, they, during like half times and pre-games, they put other games on the screen for you to watch. So like everyone in the arena, like 10,000 people, all were basically at a sports bar watching the end of that, what was it, the Furman and Virginia game where the guy chucks ball away and it's a steal and Furman wins. So that was one of the other moments that I thought was cool. But you are right, it's such a made-for-television event. You're only going to get 35% capacity, and a good majority of the capacity that was there was like Boise State fans who wasn't playing until like 4:30 p.m. But you get a day pass, so you might as well go to all four games.
Yep. No, I agree. I mean, listen, it's this perspective. Everyone's different, you know, and I think you have to embrace this incredible, you know, tournament that's about to transpire, whether it's from home, sports bar, or at the games. Just enjoy it, because it goes away so quickly. You know, I feel like the pageantry kind of dies in the Sweet 16. So you really only have just a few days here, Thursday through Sunday, I think are some of the four best days that we have in sports.
Well, let's break down those Thursday through Sunday games. You have the bracket. You're our college basketball expert. Year four, I believe, of our March Madness coverage with Razor Rosenthal. So I turn it over to you first. You see the final pool. You've gone through bracket. I presume you've filled out a couple, even if you haven't filled out your official bracket. What stands out to you in the bracket as it stands right now?
It stands out as Matt Painter. If you can't get it done, you just need to probably get into TV next year, because I feel like Purdue has a really good opportunity to get to the Final Four. I think you have another coach in there with Rick Barnes who can definitely screw things up for you as well. So you have the right path. I just don't think that Purdue should have any issues getting through the Midwest region, but yet how much do you trust Purdue. But that stood out to me as probably the easiest path. UConn's path is difficult, but yet I still think they're fine. I think that Auburn got robbed here as a four seed, and they probably should have been on the three line. But not only that, but they're going to have to play UConn in the Sweet 16, at least maybe give them Houston or Carolina. I mean, that was a little crazy. Those two things really stood out. Purdue's path to the Final Four and Auburn's SEC Conference Championship Tournament win lands them on the four line. Pretty nasty, Kyle. I don't like that for the Auburn Tigers.
The Purdue thing is funny because as I've started looking at brackets and filling them out, I keep...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Filling out a bracket with the every time I fill out the Midwest, it's like, well, Purdue's got to lose at some point, right? It's inevitable. Purdue has to lose. They've lost the last 3 years to North Texas, St. Peter's, and Fairleigh Dickinson. Like, they have to lose at some point. They could lose to any of these teams, and the whole way through, I can't find the team that's gonna beat them. Either Utah State or TCU, I think, is like frisky and interesting. I think TCU will probably win that game, but it's an 8-9 coin toss, so I acknowledge that they're, you know, pretty random results. But I don't think Gonzaga or Kansas could get it done. The one that I think is interesting is Creighton, but obviously that would wait until the Elite Eight for that to even happen if Creighton gets there.
Well, Creighton has a big to match up with Edie. That's really the only team that I find to be a little bit dangerous for Purdue, but Creighton's path to get there is going to be tough. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are penciling Creighton into the Sweet 16 immediately. You can do that and feel somewhat comfortable with it. But I think that Purdue should be fine against Creighton or Tennessee if they play up to their level. But there's no promises there, Kyle. But yeah, listen, here's the deal. I'm in several brackets, right? And the one that means the most to me is the one that I host, which is the biggest entry fee of all the ones that I participate in. And I have Purdue getting through the Midwest region. Now, I haven't filled out my Final Fours yet as far as who wins that game and, of course, the national title. I kind of just wait and see approach. Maybe tomorrow I'll make that that judgment. But I did fill out my brackets for all the regional finals, regional winners, I should say.
Okay. And you are feeling confident enough to push Purdue into the Final Four. That's what you're saying.
I do. And, you know, it's a big regret. I'll probably have, 12 days from now. But I feel very good about UConn and Purdue emerging in the East and Midwest.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the East real quick, because the East is probably the toughest of the regions. But at the same time, UConn also is so overwhelming that it feels inevitable that UConn is going to advance here, because UConn got a bit of a nasty draw to go from what will probably be FAU, I would guess. I don't know necessarily much about Northwestern, but I know FAU still has a good majority of the group from last year. To go from that to either San Diego State or Auburn, which are both top 16 KenPom teams, and then to have to potentially play Iowa State, one of the hottest teams right now, that's a tough draw for UConn, even if they are the best team in the tourney.
Yeah, I think the one misconception that everybody talks about is the East is so difficult. There's Illinois and Iowa State in that region. Well, yes, there is, but UConn doesn't have to face both of them. So I think if they can just, you know, figure out a way to beat, I think Auburn will beat San Diego State. I mean, I really like the way Auburn's playing. San Diego State had a pretty decent run in Vegas. Obviously, they got run out of the gym second half against New Mexico. They had chances, though. They did have chances to come back and win that game, but I like UConn's path. I do think Illinois may have a chance to beat Iowa State. In my bracket, I do have Illinois in the regional final, but I think that's a toss-up game. I don't think that's going to make or break your bracket if you choose Iowa State or Illinois. I think that's going to be 50-50 down the ways. I think it just comes down to, like it always does, do you have two Final Four teams correct? And if you have three, you're in really good shape. So I do have Illinois losing to UConn in the East. I'm not selling that pick of Illinois winning the bottom half of the bracket with a ton of confidence. I could see them going down. I believe, Kyle, is it BYU-Illinois a possible round of 32 matchup? Because if yes, that's the case, I think BYU can beat Illinois as well. So I'm not selling that to your listening faithful to go out there and put a ticket on Illinois to make the regional final. I just happened to put it in there myself. And, of course, you obviously have the opportunity to bet the game. You know, if you have Illinois and you're in a good path to win your bracket, well, then just take Iowa State money line. So if Iowa State emerges, you get that money. Maybe you make up 50% of your entry fee or even more. So that's kind of that's the track I'm taking.
Does the East feel like the most chalk of the regions to you, like the most likely to follow, I guess, order? I don't want to say like order, like this is the way it's supposed to go, but is that the region that feels the most chalk, that you're probably going to have 1, 2, 3, and 4 advancing to the Sweet 16?
I think so. I think BYU's scary. I look at all the 6 seeds and I look at the 4 seeds and the 5 seeds. I think it's really a difficult region from that standpoint. Who's the best 4 seed in the NCAA tournament this year? Well, as we sit here on March 19th, to me, it's Auburn. Who's the best 5 seed in this tournament? You can make an argument for San Diego State. You can make an argument for BYU as a 6. So I do think, and who's the best 1 seed? Well, I think it's UConn right now. And who's the best 2 seed? I think it's Iowa State. I mean, what they did in Kansas City was remarkable. Who's the best 3 seed, Kyle? Maybe it's the Big Ten champs in Illinois, right? I mean, so I think that it's the chalky, but yet to me it's a strong region. I mean, I think it's kind of silly to have potentially the best seed, all of the best seeds in the same region. If you're following me, right? FAU, we'll talk about FAU. FAU got a bad draw. They got a bad draw. Northwestern's a smart, tricky team, and I think it's a toss-up, to be honest with you. Northwestern opened as a 2-point favorite. I think FAU is now a 2-point favorite. So the market loves FAU. That scares me. I would not bet on FAU in this game. I love them. They're really fast. They don't play great defense. I think Northwestern could slow down this game. Boo Booey's been there since 1987. This guy is a heck of a player. He could be the best player on the floor, Boo Booey, in the Northwestern FAU game. So very scary game. I think in this bracket, I probably took FAU, but it doesn't mean much to me because I think either team loses to UConn. But yeah, FAU make an argument they're the best 8 seed. When they're on, they're the best 8 seed out. So really tough region. But answering your question, could it go 1, 2, 3, 4? I think it will, and I think I do have 1, 2, 3, 4 in that region.
Okay. And that makes sense. If you have the best 1, the best 2, the best 3, and the best 4 potentially all there, then it makes sense that they would go through. Maybe there'll be some smaller upsets before we get there, like a 6-11 with Duquesne or a 7-10 with Drake, but there's not really a big upset there. You mentioned who the best 5 seed is, and I would like to nominate the best 5 seed to be the team that I think is the longest shot I'm willing to pick to make the Final Four, and that is St. Mary's down in the West region. Because I see a lot of people who don't believe in North Carolina. And if North Carolina is going to fall, I think that puts St. Mary's in a nice prime position to make a run to the Final Four through that West region bracket, because I don't believe in Arizona or Baylor either. So I think in a way that the East is very much chalk, I think the West is a bit of a chaos bracket. one where you might see a bunch of upsets. And I think St. Mary's might be poised to emerge from that group.
Yeah, I really like St. Mary's. I think you probably hit it. They are the best five seed. Wisconsin will maybe want to argue with you there. But other than that, I think St. Mary's is the best. I think Gonzaga may be the most ridiculously overseeded team in this bracket besides Dayton as a seven. I don't know if Gonzaga earned that five line after their performance in the conference championship game. I was thinking Gonzaga would be on the seven or eight line, but boy, was I off there. Let me go back to the East real quick. I'm going to talk about Survivor. So Survivor is my favorite thing, honestly, in March Madness. And I want to go to an East team, which is BYU. So with Survivor, I think in the first round, you have to probably take a seed that's 5 through 8 to start your tournament. You'd be silly to do a 12, 13, 14, right? I mean, that's just you're hoping that this comes through with a small percentage. And of course, if you're using a 1, 2, 3, even a 4, that's sort of silly as well, because now you've lost them. So my Survivor pick, I'm in 3 Survivors. I don't typically do this, Kyle, but I just love BYU. Duquesne to me is a 14 or 15 seed. I think you're getting incredible value with the BYU matchup. I would highly recommend BYU Survivor across the board. So I just want to throw that out before we move on to the next region. BYU is my number one Survivor pick as a 6 seed. It's just too much value there. As far as the West, I agree with you. I do have St. Mary's over Alabama. I think Alabama is sloppy. Yes, they are one of the best offensive teams in the country, but they are the worst defensive teams in the country. That's probably, as far as the top 6 seed goes. I like St. Mary's there. I do. I like that spot for St. Mary's. I do like Arizona and Baylor to collide. I think Arizona is in a good spot. I'm not sure I fear the Nevada Wolfpack too much, or their opponent, which I believe is Dayton. I mean, Dayton's been playing really bad basketball in March, overseeded at 7. I think Arizona has a pretty good path, but we could have said that last year as well. In that regional final, I think I have Carolina over Baylor. I just don't trust Tommy Lloyd quite yet. I told you, you asked me, who's the long shot on your pod maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago? And at the time, Carolina was maybe a low-end 2 seed. And I said, it's Carolina. I think Carolina is going to be a 1 seed. Carolina played a period of basketball that was poor for just about 6 minutes in that NC State game, from probably about the 15-minute mark to the 9-minute mark. It was just a horrible run for Carolina. Outside of that, Kyle, just you can't forget what Carolina has done since beating Duke at home and then losing only one game after that. I think Carolina is going to emerge in the West. I really do like their draw. I think St. Mary's can maybe give them a little bit of trouble, but I just don't think Baylor's going to do it. And if it is Arizona, that would be an amazing story to have Caleb Love versus RJ Davis in that situation. But I feel pretty good about my local team here. Not my team, but my local team, because I live in Chapel Hill.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Give me the Tar Heels to win the West.
Okay, that's interesting, because I've not heard as many people saying that they believe in North Carolina, but you see North Carolina getting through this region. It's interesting because I've heard a lot of people say, like, Mississippi State could go to the Elite Eight if they get past Michigan State, or Michigan State could go to the Sweet 16 if they get past Mississippi State. I feel like those are just indictments of what people think about North Carolina, because if you don't know whether they could beat each other, how do you feel confident in saying North Carolina is going to lose to one of those teams? And I'm glad that you are saying, no, North Carolina should be able to handle these teams. Whether it's Alabama or St. Mary's in the next round, they should be able to get by that. And the only question is just whether they play Baylor or Arizona, two teams that they're more talented than potentially in the Sweet 16. Because if it's anyone other than Baylor or Arizona, they should have no problems with it in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, Mississippi State, I've watched them play. I mean, listen, they ran Tennessee out of the gym. That's great. But you have to ask yourself sometimes, you know, do these kids that are in the tournament locked into a 2 or 3 seed, and down by 15, are they really going to make that effort? I mean, Tennessee just lay down for Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State is good. For some reason, I think Michigan State is going to win just because of the fact that Izzo always wins when he's like a 7, 8, 9. I mean, he's probably has an 80% winning percentage in that situation. But you look at Michigan State's resume, it gets sloppy. I don't see them beating Carolina. I mean, I really like Carolina's draw. I mean, I think Purdue and Carolina have the two best draws. I even think it's a better path than Houston's draw. I feel good. I feel like the Tar Heels are going to make a run there.
So this region, moving away from the top teams, this region has two of my favorite groups of teams in March Madness every year, which is mid-major team that always makes the tournament and never wins. There are a handful of these teams who always win their conference tournament, always end up in the tournament. Names that we know familiarly now after years of seeing them here, but they also always lose in the first round. You want to pick them, they never win. That is College of Charleston as the 13 seed and Colgate as the 14 seed. That's two of the teams that never, ever win. They always get to the tournament, never win their first round game. So I in my brain, I'm like, you know, if you're going to pick a 14 seed, maybe you want to pick Colgate. If you're picking a 13 seed, maybe you want to pick Charleston. But those are the teams that are there because their name, we remember their names because they're always in the tournament, but they never win. The other team in this group, I think, is Vermont. Vermont, Charleston, and Colgate. Those are the mid-majors that get there every year and never, ever win a first-round tournament game. So in my mind, I want to pick them out of the familiarity, but also if you're picking mid-major upsets, maybe you go with someone who hasn't been there before because the newness of it all makes it kind of, I don't know if there's a better chance that you're going to win or not going to win, but it's just kind of ridiculous how there's a handful of teams that are just by name recognition, I think of, oh, I should pick them, but they also never, ever win in the first round.
Charleston plays pretty similar to Alabama, so that's probably not a good thing for Charleston, right? When you play a similar game with a group of guys on the other side of the floor that have a lot more talent, I think Alabama should win that game. As far as Colgate goes, you know, they're kind of, you know, not – they didn't run through their conference, kind of got lucky to even win the conference championship. Should be a pretty easy one for Baylor. I think Vermont's the best team, but Vermont really didn't play a great game against UMass Lowell to win their conference championship. And now they're going to be playing a pretty angry Duke. I think UVM has a chance to keep it close, but give me all of the chalk to emerge there, I think, pretty easily.
Okay. The last thing from the West region before we slide over there is one of the rare situations where New Mexico on the 11 line is a favorite against the 6 seed Clemson. Just thought that was funny. They have like a 57% win probability going into that game, but it's an upset to pick the 6 over the 11, which is one of the more interesting things you see going into a tournament. Also, I've never seen the play in first four games being on the 10 line instead of the 11 or 12.
Yeah. That's a new thing. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's what they valued then. They valued Boise. UVA should not be in the dance based on all of the things that were taken away as far as bid stealing. Totally shocked. Not only UVA, I don't think, should be in there, but they're on the 10 line if they emerge victorious. And I think they got a heck of a deal there. Going back to what you were saying about the West, that New Mexico Clemson game, I think, is a trap. I think Clemson wins this game. I don't think Clemson's that much better, but I just feel like Vegas is going to clean up. That's one of those bet against the public games that I like, Kyle. Give me Clemson as maybe a 1.5 point dog. I'll take the points or the money line. It doesn't matter. But I mean, New Mexico's hot, right? They got to Vegas. They took care of business. They beat up on a lot of good teams in the Mountain West. Clemson came to DC, run out of the gym by a pretty bad BC team. What does everybody want to do? They want to jump on that 11 seed. They think it's cool. It's trendy. Let's do it. Clemson somehow wins. I just have a good feeling about it.
So how do you feel about the other 11 seed games? I know we talked about BYU winning, Clemson winning. What do you feel about Oregon and your boys at NC State?
I think Oregon has the best chance because you asked me, I used the F word on your podcast last week. Mm-hmm. Now, South Carolina, I mean, they got beat up pretty good against Auburn, right? I mean, this team has very little depth. I think Oregon is much better than what they showed during the regular season. Obviously, they have no business being in this tournament besides winning their conference championship. But I think Oregon, if they play to their talent, are a better team than South Carolina. And Vegas would agree with me because I think the line, if you have it or want to pull it up, I don't think it's that much north of 1 or 2 for South Carolina. I think the Gamecocks go down, and I feel like that's my most confident 6-11 game. And as far as NC State, Texas Tech goes, you know, what Texas Tech has is a great backcourt, but they don't have a great frontcourt. So now is DJ Burns going to be the same guy that we saw in DC? Well, we like what we see most recently as gambler fans. If you look at the body of work, DJ Burns at times, many times, and I'm going to make this very clear. Someone who watches and follows this team probably as much as anybody that you're going to ever have on your podcast, he's a no-show. And on a big stage, he better not be a no-show because they'll have no chance. They have to take advantage of Diarra, Middlebrooks, and Burns being the better trio of power forwards and centers against Texas Tech, because I think their guard play matches NC State's guard play. Do I like the Wolfpack here? Maybe slightly as an underdog at 5.5. But I think if I'm giving out gambling advice or bracket advice, I think Texas Tech, what they showed to me at the end of the Big 12 regular season was really impressive. They ran BYU out. My goodness, did they do that in Kansas City. Now, they got beat up pretty good by Houston, but Houston's a number one seed. Give me Texas Tech to advance into the round of 32 and probably give Kentucky some problems.
So one of the interesting things I see about the bracket or on the money lines is that South Carolina is a slight favorite, but yep. 76% of your money line bets are coming in at Oregon -102 right now. It's South Carolina -118 is about 24% right now. So the betting public is all over Oregon, you know, not maybe.
And that's
unfortunate.
And that's unfortunate for me who really likes Oregon, right? Because I would love to see the stats on that with where the money's coming in on the other 6-11 game we just mentioned, Clemson and New Mexico. Now, if that's the case, Kyle, here's what we could do. We can love Oregon, but if everyone else is on Oregon, I stay off. If I like what I'm seeing live and I feel like, wait a minute, okay, I could have got -102, but Oregon is up 6 with, you know, 10 minutes to go in the game. You're still probably getting good value, maybe -160. If you follow me, you know I'm not scared of many things south of $2, then I'll take Oregon. It's probably a no play right now, but man, what a great thing to have in live betting.
Yeah, Clemson, New Mexico is they're not going either way with this one. So it's -2 New Mexico, but 52% of the bets minus New Mexico New Mexico -2 is getting 52% of the bets on the money line. New Mexico -150 or 135 is getting 54% of the bets. So Vegas is
shocking.
Pretty much in the middle. They're not leaning either direction for that one.
So I'd be interested to see if the sharps, the people that spend a big ticket money are on Clemson, but all the little money from average Joe public bettor, $20 bets, $40 bets are pushing on New Mexico. So when all the money comes together, maybe it's just all the small bets equal 54% and the 46% of big bets, maybe the sharper bettors are on Clemson. Again, that's just my feel, but I've always said this, Kyle, for the last 3 years on your podcast, I don't bet the NCAA tournament that much. It's really hard. I mean, it's really hard to figure out these spreads and money lines. I'm all in with Survivor and brackets as my units for this stuff.
Normally the thing that I look at, and I don't gamble much on the NCAA tournament, but just to help me fill out my bracket, is that if you see early in the week against the spread, tons of bets on the underdog, and the money line kind of hangs around 75%, 80% in favor of the team that's going to win, that's how you kind of know Vegas is like, yeah, upset's probably not going to happen here. So like the Charleston versus Alabama game, 80% of your bets are on Charleston.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Plus 9.5, but on the money line, Alabama minus 480 is getting 75% of the bets. That's telling you pretty confidently Alabama's going to win. They feel like dead set Alabama's going to probably win that game. Like on the flip side, Auburn is kind of right in the middle on both money line and spread. So, you know, maybe they're saying Yale has a chance to pull off an upset. You know, there's kind of like, it's hard to kind of read some of those things, but you can at least get some idea of what direction Vegas is going or where they think the value is. For like example, they're taking heavy action on Grand Canyon. So they're telling you that if Grand Canyon's going to pull off this upset, we're going to lose a lot of money. And they're kind of telling you St. Mary's is the winner of that one. So yeah, you're kind of right on about the gambling side of that part.
Yeah, and I think there are a few money line parlays that have some present some really good value. I think if you could marry BYU, Auburn, Alabama as a trio, probably going to get that south of minus 200. So that's probably my one trio of parlays that I feel very comfortable with for round one of the tournament or those three teams.
Yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying there. The next one we should go over to the final quadrant of the bracket real quick out in the South region. What do you make of the seeding here? Because I think Marquette has a puncher's chance of going in the tournament based on the draw that they have there. But at the same time, I know a bunch of people are on Texas Tech. A bunch of people still like Kentucky. Obviously, you mentioned a pissed off Duke team, which could pull it off. And then obviously, Houston's the number one. A lot of people think Houston has a chance to go to the championship, but they lost by like 27 points in the conference championship game. So even they are kind of, you know, not to use the F word, but there are people who are wavering a bit on their optimism in Houston.
Yeah, I think Duke is going to emerge into the Sweet 16. I think they'll beat Bucky Badger or JMU. That's a toss-up game to me. I haven't really – I think I entered Wisconsin as the winner of that JMU game, but I definitely am going to play JMU on several other smaller entry fee brackets. I'm just going to play it safe with Bucky Badger to advance. I think Duke Wisconsin to toss up, but let's just say Duke wins. Duke doesn't have the alpha male to scare me against Houston. They just don't have the guard play as well. Jeremy Roach is a great player, but he's no shed and he's no crier. And I think that Houston's in a pretty good spot there on the top half of the draw. On the bottom half of the draw, man, it's really Kentucky. Kentucky, are you in Calipari? Are you going to show up? Okay, I mean that's the big question mark. And I trust Marquette more, Kyle. I really do. If Tyler Colic is healthy, and we learn all the information today, tomorrow, and Thursday, you may could even sit him for round one. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Maybe you have that information, but if he's healthy, I think Marquette is a really good basketball team. They made it to the Big East Championship without their best player. Yes, they got blown out by UConn, but it wasn't that easy of a path to do it. Yes, they avoided Creighton, who lost to Providence, but I like Marquette here. I do have Marquette winning that region, but I also will pull back on Thursday morning if the injury report is murky for Colic. But listen, Houston has been a one seed. They've been a two seed, I feel like, for the last 4 years off and on, and they just haven't gotten it done. So I trust Shaka. He's been there before. He may have the best backcourt in Jones and Colic, but then again, Cryer and Shed may be the best. It'd be a great guard matchup. Neither team has really intimidating bigs. I'd love to see NC State. Let's just say that. NC State go all the way. But I don't think that's happening. So let's go Marquette as the South regional champions. And I'm not endorsing this pick to go out on your sports book and bet Marquette, whatever their number is, to win the South. Unless it's great value. Maybe it is great value, because then you can look at that and then you can bet against them in the regional final, or even maybe bet against them against Kentucky if you have a Marquette South regional ticket holding. So I got Marquette winning the South if Kolek's healthy, Kyle.
Yeah, you sound very similar to me, which is like, I want to pick Marquette. I think Marquette could go to the championship game, but at the same time, I just do not feel the confidence in that team for all of the injury and Shaka Smart related reasons. To follow up something you mentioned, the JMU one is interesting because despite the fact that 65% of the moneyline bets are coming in on JMU, Vegas has actually moved the odds to an even more significant underdog for JMU. They've gone from opening at plus 140 up to plus 190 now. So Vegas has taken heavy action on JMU and believing in Wisconsin, which is just an interesting little trend in the first round matchup. The 5-12s, I don't feel like are the same as 5-12s of past years because of all those bid thieves like Oregon and NC State and New Mexico and Duquesne being on the 11 line instead of the, you know, the 12 line like they might have been, or maybe those 11 seeds are at large teams. But Vegas is again taking action on JMU and saying it's the trendy pick, and Vegas thinks that JMU will probably go down early in that one. Also, if you're gonna pick a 14-3 upset, and it's happened, I think, three of the last four tournaments that have been held, a 14 beats a three. If you're going to pick a 14-3, isn't Kentucky to lose probably your best choice of all the three seeds on the table?
I think so. I think you hit it. I mean, Kentucky's sloppy, low IQ at times. Oakland really took care of business in their league. Had a little bit of difficulty in the championship game, but I think it's Oakland who somehow wins this game versus any other team that I see out there, like the likes of Colgate. I think you hit it. I think it's going to have to be Oakland or nobody else.
Okay. And then the other one that I'm curious about is that each of the last 3 years, a 15 has beat a two. It's hard to pick 15s to beat twos in your bracket, but it's happened each of the last 3 years. And I hypothesize that in a more free and accessible transfer portal era, talent is being more distributed. And because of the style of play that is played relative to like 15 years ago, you're more conducive to upsets. If a team shoots really poorly, like Arizona did last year against Princeton, where they just couldn't hit the back of a barn for like 12 minutes straight in that game and let Princeton back in. So if you're looking at the 15 twos, and one has happened every year for the last 3 years, what do you think about the 15 twos?
And I just gave you my South regional champion. It's going to be the same team. I think if Kolek is out, it's a cop out for me to give you that answer, Kyle. But it's got to be Marquette with him out. If Tyler Kolek's out, then yes, it's Marquette. If he's in, I still almost say it is Marquette, although, you know, because Western Kentucky run up and down that floor. I think Western Kentucky is the best 15 seed. So I think you really just have to put it on who's the best 15 seed out there. I think they're kind of underseeded. I kind of almost think Duquesne should be a 15 seed, not so much Western Kentucky.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But obviously, coming from one conference and the other, apples and oranges, the A-10 probably vastly better than Coosa. So yeah, I'd say Marquette. I mean, it's kind of contradicting my prediction, but I feel like if anyone's going to have a tough go with Kolek out, it's Marquette. And then if there's any 15 seed that I trust more, it's WKU than the other three.
I'm going to also shout out my Big West homies in Long Beach State, because one, I can name four players on Long Beach State because I'm UC Davis. They were so close to making the tournament this year. I could have gone to Salt Lake City for that whole tournament, maybe traveled with the team on their NCAA charter jet. But Long Beach State fired their coach, made the tournament. Arizona is already a team that lost to a 15 last year. So hey, go Long Beach. And Vegas odds are saying that they actually like Long Beach because they're not taking really much action on Long Beach plus 1600. So they're saying it's more likely to happen than any of the other ones, even if Long Beach is a 20.5 point underdog.
I think what helps Arizona, it's an obvious statement by me, but it helps that they lost 1 year ago in the same spot. I think that they probably did not take Princeton very serious, and I think they're going to take the Beach very serious. And I think the Beach is kind of one of those teams that is discombobulated getting into the championship as a four seed with a coach that pretty much quit on them. It's a weird story. Maybe they cover the number, Kyle, but I think Arizona emerges.
Well, we'll see, because one of the 15s is going to lose. Also, we didn't mention it at all. They're not getting any traction. Shout out St. Peter's. They're back as a 15
seed. They're back
again.
Yeah, they're not. They probably, to me, are the worst 15 seed. So I know we want to put them in ahead of Rick Barnes. It's not happening. Tennessee will win that game. And, you know, it's funny. You mentioned that. You said something, probably just joking around, that 15 seed is going to win. There's a couple of parlays to look into. Like will a 2-3 lose round one and parlay that money line? And I think, Kyle, you're going to get under minus 200. So obviously you have to win all those games, but I think it's a good path for all the twos and threes to advance on round one. I'm going to look into that play.
Yeah. It's hard to know what is going to happen in some of those games, because each of the last few years, I mean, maybe you could have thought Ohio State was a bit fugazi. Maybe you thought Kentucky, but obviously not losing to Oral Roberts or losing to St. Peter's. Or, you know, Texas losing to Abilene Christian when Abilene Christian's entire athletic budget is the size of like the starting quarterback at Texas. Like, the there's a few of them that, like, you just, college basketball happened.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a believer this year, more so that these 1-2s and 3s get through. I really wanted to find something for my small bracket. Where my smaller brackets, where I like to take those chances and be silly, I just can't find it. But, you know, you could have made the argument you couldn't find it last year. So something will go wrong, Kyle. You're absolutely right. I'm not the guy that's going to pull the trigger, though, to say it's going to happen.
That is Razor Rosenthal. You can check out his Twitter for all of his followings during March Madness. I'm sure he's going to have a grand old time on Thursday and Friday. Hopefully NC State comes through for you. I can't remember if they're a Thursday night game, I think, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
Thursday 9:20, the late game in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, against Texas Tech, 5.5-point dog. Should be really good. Kyle, just throw it out just to give you my final four: Purdue and Marquette, North Carolina, UConn. So very chalky, very, very chalky.
But this is the thing I've learned over the years, is like, you want to pick one seeds to lose early in the tournament, but it's just not worth it, because you have no idea who's going to make it out of the 8-9. Like, even if you're right about a one seed losing, you might not even get the points for it, because you don't even know what's going to happen in the 8-9 games. So it's too hard to pick one seeds to lose before the round of 16, even if you believe that a one seed is going to lose before the round of 16, because it's just, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. So I understand kind of pushing the one seeds along as long as you possibly can. It makes sense when you're playing a bracket pool like that, unless you're content with being at the last place group, or potentially making a big run for, what, 20 points if you get you get 2 points if you pick a 8 seed to make it to the Sweet 16. It's sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze. So I understand stringing along the chalk teams if you're filling out a bracket pool to try and win money. The most important thing is just getting the two champions right, the team in the final and the team in the that wins it all.
That's been impossible, it seems like, the last 3 or 4 years. Who had San Diego State UConn last year? You would probably put an over under of 1.6% of the country. It's a tough thing. It's a very tough thing to navigate, but sure is fun though.
There was one person in our 200 plus person bracket pool who hit that championship game on the nose, but they picked San Diego State to win the whole thing. So they dropped, I think they finished third place in the whole bracket pool, but if San Diego State had won, they would have won the whole thing. But
they would have won by a lot, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Wow. So you had two people with UConn. I can't recall in my large pool where, you know, my entry fee is 200, and we We get quite a few people. I don't think we had, but maybe one, but 0-1 UConn winners. It really just came down to somebody having a couple guys had UConn in the finals or in the final four, which gave them the money. So
yeah, the one year that it did come through, and it was one of the chalkiest years, was 3 years ago with Gonzaga and Baylor, because I had that down to the nose, Gonzaga versus Baylor in the championship. I had Gonzaga winning the whole thing, and they lost. But the chalk sometimes does come through.
It does, and I think it will this year. I really think you're going to get 2-1 seeds in the final four, and I think you would. It's a good bet, Kyle. I think you're going to have odds for over 1.5 1 seeds in the final four. You're probably going to get plus action on that. Maybe very little juice on it. Maybe it's a -120 bet. I think I'm willing to dive into that market.
All right. We'll see what happens. We'll reconvene either before the Sweet 16 or sometime during the midst of the March Madness. But that is Razor Rosenthal. He's got all your college basketball insights and expertises. Razor, thank you for breaking down the bracket with us, and best of luck to the Wolf Pack. Just as I'm spoiled with San Diego State at this point. I'm just like, yeah, no, awesome. We had the greatest run ever last year, so whatever happens, happens. But I hope that your magical NC State season continues for as long as possible.
The slipper may still fit. Let's hope, Kyle.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.